In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, out of the storm. Prepare yourself, gird up your loins, God says to Job, for this will be an unpleasant trial, and the answers that you seek will only leave you with more questions. The book of Job is certainly an interesting one in our Bible, and it is a pretty heavy one as well. Today we find ourselves toward its culmination in chapter 38. And this is so because we decided to shift our lectionary for the week, our sequence of scripture readings from Sunday to Sunday. Normally, we have been following track two of the lectionary, but today we made this shift to track one, which has been going through this story of Job. So if you'll permit me to very briefly recap some of that story up until this point. Job is a just and a righteous man whose life falls on hard times to just an extreme degree. His family has perished, his home has been destroyed, his health has deteriorated significantly. And Job has spent a great deal of the preceding 37 chapters asking this question of why. Why is this happening? Why me? I've lived a just and righteous and good life. I have done nothing wrong. Why do I deserve this? Why, God, have you allowed this to happen to me? It is certainly a question that many of us have asked before, and it's one that many near us right now might be asking, the very same question. Why and how could this happen? And that's a major theme of this book of Job. It's one that is described as the problem of suffering, or rather the injustice of undeserved suffering. And in the midst of Job's suffering, he is visited by a few of his friends who try to give Job an explanation on why this is happening to him. By the theological standards of the day, Job's situation, it can only be a sign that he is, for some reason, a great sinner of some sort. And it's this rigid cosmological system that if you do good, you prosper, and if you do bad, you suffer. But we, as the readers of this story, we have the inside scoop on it. We have the inside details on Job's life, and we know that this is not always the case. And so the question persists of why. Why is that happening? And Job persists in this question, and God finally answers him in our reading today, just not with the answers that Job is seeking. Only more questions from God who's speaking to him out of a storm. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Surely you know who determined its measurements. Who are you in the midst of this, in your humanity, in your limitedness of scope? Can you lift your voice to the clouds so that the flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning so that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds? Or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods cling together? And a commentator, Mark Thronvie, writes that in a very literal sense, the book of Job, it raises many more questions than it answers. At the very least, however, we are assured that God is God, and that we are not, and that we are human beings who struggle with things that we cannot understand. But nevertheless, our hope is tied to this firm conviction that this very same God will take care of that which we do not understand. What we don't understand as we see it in the created world around us, and maybe even a world that looks very uncreated at the moment. And it is also this that we know This story of Job is only part of our whole story. It's not the end of it. Our witness and our ultimate hope as followers of Jesus Christ is that there is good news to come. There is always good news to come. That even in the midst of chaos and destruction and its aftermath, God is still present and alive and active and continually working. And from what was destroyed, the hope of new life persists. So just this past Friday, our bishop made a pastoral video that he sent out to the diocese titled 10 Days After Hurricane Michael. I'm not sure if some of you have seen it or not, but it was a wonderful message and one we needed. And in it, he talks about what he, along with those who have been in these affected areas, many of our own congregation going there firsthand, have witnessed over these past 10 days. He said that 48 hours after landfall, it was horrible. But there were trees scattered everywhere, downed electrical lines, and that he used the term eerie. He said it felt eerie and ominous because the only sounds you could hear were sirens and alarms of houses that were going off, which had been demolished. And there were no birds in the sky and no squirrels either on the ground. Only a few people around were they were walking around in a daze after what had happened. And there were a handful of first responders that were sifting through the rubble trying to find people. But then as the time went on, people were coming out and trying to piece back together their lives. And then again, there was this other shift. And people began to show up and mountains of supplies began to pour in. And in his words, people were reaching out in hope. And there were people not just surviving, but seeking to serve others. And he had mentioned that this 10-day mark after a tragedy is a significant, very important one, because it is about that time which we begin to see this significant shift from death into life, and even new life from this sense of survival mode into a life of service. As I was thinking about this video and sitting with my daughter, we were watching yet another episode of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with it. Some of the parents might be. It's a new iteration of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. But it brought to my mind something that Fred Rogers once said. It was something that his mother said to him. He said, "You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any real catastrophe, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always, always be helpers. You know, even sometimes they might just be on the sidelines or might be in the middle too. Rescue teams and anybody coming into a place where there is a tragedy, because if you look for the helpers and you find the helpers, you will know that there is hope. You will know that there is hope." I saw an image on Facebook recently of a picture of Highway 98 after that storm, after Hurricane Michael. And there were countless line workers trying to restore power. And the caption read that the license plates from all of the trucks that were there were from this entire country. Some from right here at home, from right in these areas that were hit hardest. And some from Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas, and even as far as Kentucky and beyond. And the list continues. But it's just one of the countless multitude of images and the countless multitude of those helpers that are there. And more importantly, many of those helpers are the very ones whose lives were torn apart. There's this sense of shift that has taken place. And I can only pray that this type of strength, that I would be able to find it if I was ever one day in those shoes. It reminds me that if we were to bring back in some of those lines and images from Job, that when the water skins of heaven are turned over, I'm reminded that we are but dust. It's what we proclaim. It's what we say on our Ash Wednesday. But that dust, we're seeing it now, that this dust is running back together into a mass. And it's clotting and it's clinging to each other. And we're clinging to one another. Our bishop continued his address that he did not want to steal the preacher's thunder from Sunday, but that this 10-day mark, it might be helpful to hear Sunday's gospel right then. And that it was true. And it is just as true on this past Friday as it is now. And this is the message that we need, the message that we heard. And it's the message that we needed on Friday and today, and will be the ones that we need in the next days, in the months, and even the years to come. It is that Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must first be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be servant of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And it is this message, this message that we need, that this gospel is in fact already being preached. It has already started. It's already there. And it's one that is going to continue to be preached. Because it is in fact this gospel of love that we keep talking about. It's the very same thing, the good news and the hope that we know in Jesus Christ. It is that divine love that is about giving rather than getting, serving rather than being served, and one that is so, so much bigger than ourselves. And it's also one that even might be found in the most unexpected places, maybe even under the rubble in the aftermath of a storm. It's God speaking to us from the whirlwind, from this aftermath of a storm, and calling us to be. We are called to both see this gospel being preached and to be this gospel being preached as well. And we and all of us, we're all this body of Christ, and we're part of that very presence of God in this world, part of the very presence of God that is right now in these affected areas. And just as there are those who are on the ground now, physically there, rebuilding and serving those who are from that area who are most affected, and some who have come in with the immediate expertise have poured in from all over. You know, we're linked to them. We're linked to that as well. And they are not there on their own. And they are being supported by these vast networks of people who pray and come to find God here at this table, here when we gather together, here with each other. We provide and we bring and pull together resources and food and money to be able to support the work that's going on. And then in turn, in the next days and the weeks and months and maybe even years as we go from here, might hear that call for ourselves to go be present. And this is the way of love that we keep hearing about. It's right here. It's right next door. It's right on our doorstep. And we can see it, and we can be it too. This is the way of love that is in Jesus Christ. And it's also here, right here, that the living and thriving God is found calling to us out of a storm. Amen.